Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Allison. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm so happy to have you here. So we've been chatting already, so I'm excited to chat some more.
I know.
So let's see.
What do you want to talk about?
Now let's talk about you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am from Charleston, South Carolina, born and raised, and I still live here. I live with two puppies, Charlie and Baxter. And I have been writing romance and rom-com and some women's fiction since 2013.
Oh my gosh.
That's about it. I'm not real flashy. So that's pretty much the basic.
I love this.
You've
been writing for since 2013. So it's been a while. So I love that.
My first book came out in August of 2013. Oh, so that was Present Perfect. Things have changed a lot since then. Mm-hmm. So I'm always surprised at when August rolls around, you know, that anniversary. It's like, I've been doing it. I don't have like a ton of books out because I'm a very slow writer. But I'm getting there.
That's great. So were you a women's reader or women's fiction reader before you started writing? Or were you writing and then you discovered the genre? You know, which
When growing up, I would read like during the summertime when, you know, instead of like during the school year when they made you read. Mm-hmm. But I was like all over the, I would read like, I've read John Grisham and I would read biographies. And my mother used to read a lot of romance, like mm-hmm. the Fabio cover.
Yeah.
And, but I was real sporadic when I read. It would be phases I would go through. And it wasn't until when my father passed away, I think it was a way of helping me and my mom too, because she'd been an avid reader, to kind of grieve and get through his passing. So that's like really when I started reading like a lot and reading mainly romance. Mm-hmm. The women's fiction, I don't know. I mean, I don't really like gravitate towards it. It's just, mm-hmm. if it's something that catches my eye, mm-hmm. Then I go and read it. If it's a good story, that's what I'm looking for. So, but yeah, that's kind of how I started. And then I was in a Facebook group called Kindle Buddies, mm-hmm. and you know, they would talk about, I'd never heard of like self-publishing or indie authors or anything like that. And so a lot of those ladies that were in there, some of them, they were writers and they started publishing and mm-hmm. then started talking about, you know, that's the first place where I heard of Colleen Hoover mm-hmm. and Taryn Fisher. I was like, who are these people? I started leaning more towards reading indie authors. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into the whole thing. And a friend of mine through that group, her and I, we were talking, she was publishing a book, and I did in college, I wrote a lot of one act plays mm-hmm. and I would produce them and direct them, but I was not one of those people who, thought, oh, I want to write a book. I just seemed daunting to me, but I did enjoy writing, but just in the play form. And so when I was talking with this friend of mine through Kindle Buddies, I mentioned that. She said, oh, you ought to see if you still like it, you know, maybe you want to write a book. I thought, I don't know. So but I did. I sat down at my kitchen table, and I had when my father was in the hospital, we had given him a I think it was just a netbook, like a little small laptop for him to use. Anyway, I got it after he passed, and that's what I wrote my first book on, was that laptop. But yeah, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It helped me through that grieving process. Mm-hmm. It gave me something to focus on. So that's kind of how I got into it.
And so what kind of romance do you gravitate? Do you gravitate still to indies or like some darker, like contemporary rom-com?
My favorite tropes to read. I love friends to lovers, mm-hmm. or enemies to lovers. I do love rom-coms. I just like a good story. And if it's, you know, I love to have a romance in it. But yeah, those are the ones that I kind of gravitate towards as far as the tropes go.
So one question I've been asking to the authors, because it's just like I'm curious somewhere, is what sparks joy for you? Like what is, you know, one activity, whether it's writing, reading, or something else, like gardening, knitting, whatever it is, that you can do and you feel like it's just like fun, you feel like you're in flow and it feels good to you?
I love to cook. Ooh. I love to bake. Ooh. As long as the end product doesn't have to be pretty, I'm good with the bacon.
Yeah.
I love watching all like the cooking competition shows, mm-hmm. and the HGTV. I love like decorating and home reno. I've not done any home reno. I mean, I've painted. That was about it. But I haven't knocked down any walls.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. I love to do that kind of stuff. And just like you and I were talking earlier about the podcast. Mm-hmm. That's like a daily thing for me with the podcast, mm-hmm. listening to, and I listen to all different ones. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are just fun, like interview ones, and some have to do with writing and like the creative part of writing. And then there's some that has to do with the business part of writing and all. So, but yeah, that's kind of where I seem to, I mean, I can sit in front of TV and watch HGTV House Hunters, which is ridiculous because it's just people walking in and out of homes.
I love that.
Looking to buy a house. I did that the other day and I'm like, I can't believe I've spent like 2 hours just watching people. And I don't know, looking to buy a house. So, but yeah, that's, like I said, that's kind of some of this fun stuff I fill my day up with.
I love this. And what has been the process of writing during the pandemic? Has it been any easier, any harder, or just about the same?
You know, I'm kind of a homebody. Mm-hmm. So like the pandemic thing didn't, I mean, I lasted a good little while before I got stir crazy. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really like that big of an adjustment for mm-hmm. me. So it's just, and I'm usually a nighttime writer. So, cause that's just when everything's quiet. The house is quiet. The world is quiet. So like I said, during the pandemic, well, we're still in it, but
yeah,
I didn't have to adjust too much, mm-hmm. with that. Like I said, it just, it took me a few months before I was going nuts and climbing the walls and needed to get out somewhere. So. But now I'm worried when I do get out, it's like, I feel like an alien being on another planet. So, but anyway.
Yes, I understand. I feel like, I'm like, I want to travel. I have all these travel plans and I'm like, but it'll be so weird. Like I'm leaving my neighborhood of like less than a mile away.
Well, that's weird. I write on a desktop, mm-hmm. and just before everything blew up, mm-hmm. I had gotten a laptop because I thought, you know, this might be good. Like change the scenery. I could go out on our back porch and write. I'll go down to the library. But, you know, just sometimes that's what you need to get things, the creative juices flowing. Mm-hmm. Well, I got that. And then we got shut down. So it's like, okay, I'm just in the corner on my desk, typing away. But yeah, so we'll, like I said, we'll see how it is once we can roam about freely.
Yes, we'll see. So let's chat about Easy Interrupted. So tell us the elevator pitch. Like, what is it all about?
It is about a young woman. When the book starts, she's 27. She had her whole life ahead of her. Graduated from Harvard with honors. She was taking a gap year before she went to graduate school. She was going to travel. This is something that, you know, her mom had wanted to do. And so when she was about 2 weeks into her travels, she gets the phone call and her mom was diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, which is one of the leading causes of dementia in someone under 60 years of age. And so she came back home. And as time goes on, her father leaves. He couldn't handle it. Her aunt, other family members. So Evie is just there by herself. She's a primary caregiver for her mom. She even had a boyfriend for a minute and he couldn't handle it. So she's kind of given up on love. She cared for her mother. This is what she was doing. Well, then comes Butler Thompson. She meets him in a coffee shop and there's a connection. She just needs a little bit of fun. She can't have anything serious going on. So plus the fact she didn't think, you know, everybody else has left her. She didn't think he would understand her situation. So she keeps that part of her life from him. And as time goes on, she finds herself, they're falling in love. But she knows it's got to end at some point. And so she's trying to live basically two separate lives, her real life, taking care of her mom, and then this fantasy life that the 27-year-old girl falling in love wants to live. And there's that.
And so what was the process like to write it? You know, was it emotional? Like, you know,
it was very emotional. I was about 20,000 words into another book that I'm writing when this story hit me. It was inspired by my mom. My mom has dementia, not the same type as Evie's mom, but and I'm one of her primary caregivers. So I wanted to honor caregivers, show what they go through, the frustrations and the anger and some resentment. But those feelings are because of the situation, not the person that they're taking care of. And I was a little, you know, I'm always, when I write, I hesitate sometimes to tell certain things that are in my book, because sometimes I'll write it in a way that you don't discover it until, you know, a few chapters into it. But I knew the subject of dementia would probably be in a review or something, and I didn't want people to be scared off by it, because ultimately I wrote the book and I feel like it's inspirational. I think it's two love stories between a mother and daughter, and also the romantic love story. And then there's Evie has a best friend, so it's like I said, it's to honor caregivers, and just like I said, quantity of life doesn't always mean quality of life. And I think it shows, even with the dementia being a part of their everyday life, just the strong bond that Evie has with her mom. And that her mom continued to teach her life lessons, without even knowing it. So I, like I said, I hope it's an inspiration. There are funny parts in the book. There are sad parts in the book. There's romantic parts, because that's just life. I mean, it's, I tried to be as honest as I could be.
I love this. Yeah, I think it's just an emotional journey. I love the honor to the caregiver and like this, you know, the journey that the caregiver has to go through, you know.
And I think a lot of times, and it doesn't matter, like if you're taking care of an older parent or a husband, a wife, you know, that part of it, or a child, someone who has some sort of illness. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times caregivers get so focused and they forget themselves. And it really is true. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be any good for, you know, and it sounds so cliche, but
it's a very Al-Anon thing. Like I used to go to Al-Anon a long time ago. And like you have to put the gas, like, you know, oxygen mask first, and then you put it to your other person. Like you have to do that, you know, self-care first or whatever. Not self-care, I wouldn't call self-care, but just kind of like take care of you first, replenish in order for you to give, you know,
first. And I think as a caregiver, I think that we start feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. Like if we're taking time away from our loved one, or mm-hmm. like I said, the emotions that you go through. And I mean, they run the gamut. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And it took me a long time. Mama was diagnosed in 2016. Oh my God. And I want to say it's probably been a year and a half, maybe 2 years, that I've kind of let go of that guilt. But yeah, I went through that whole, like I said, you know, I don't want to be here. I can't do this anymore. I mean, I'm fortunate. My sister lives like 5 minutes away, mm-hmm. and her and I, you know, we're each other's support system. But yeah, it does. It gets a little sticky sometimes.
It does. So thank you for creating the story and, like, you know, to share with others so they're not alone. That's like a big message, you know.
Yeah, like I said, I do. I hope people will not be scared off by the subject matter, because it's, I guess, is more, you know, it's more than that. It's so, like I said, it's really, like I said, about all these characters loving each other through thick and thin, and just the struggle that she goes through, you know, Evie goes through, wanting this world with Butler and feeling like she can't have it. So,
yeah.
So she might lie to him a little bit.
Yeah.
There might be a few lies in there.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, I think people would be happy with the end.
It's a romance.
It's romance. So I always, it's funny because when I was talking to somebody about the, I know there's a reason for categories and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but like when I write a book, I don't, except for the rom-coms I've written, you know, it's like, well, I know this is going to be a rom-com. But all of my books have humor in them, you know, throughout. So, but it's always so hard. I don't know if other authors have this problem about putting a label on the type of story, you know, that they're writing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause somebody asked, you know, about the women's fiction. And it is. It's like, well, I don't really think about, like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a woman's fiction story. So,
yeah, I think it's just like an interesting, I think when you write a romance, you know, the ending's going to be happy for now or happily ever after. Like you at least that gives you like a sense of relief, and a sense of relief to the reader who's like, okay, I know they're going to be okay. Like you're going to put me through the wringer, and you're going to take me to the stuff. I think with romance fiction, there's like this open-ended question. Like, how's it going to end?
Yeah.
Is she going to die? You know, like, character, you know.
And I know, like I said, I do. I mean, technically, all of my books have happy for nails, at least. Yeah. I would, because I don't like to be left hanging as a reader.
Yeah,
I do. That. I always think of that kind of stuff. Like, okay, well, what do I like as a reader? Because it's like,
Like, I read this book. I'm still salty. It's a women's fiction. It's about a mother and daughter situation. And at the end of the book, it ends where her freezing to death, like literally going outside and freezing to death. And I was just like, I was so mad at the ending. I was like, I don't read reviews. And I was like, what did you just do? Like, I was like, this is just like a little Gilmore Girls, like fun book. And then she freezes to death. And I was like, why? And I was like,
well, and that's like I don't know. That's a bit of a twist, like freezing to death. Not only did she die, she froze to death.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. After that, I was like, never again. I need to. So I usually ask. I usually review to make sure the ending is like no open ended ending, or it's not like not a question, or they kill the character, or they kill a dog. You know, like. Like important things. Like I gotta check those things. Like those are important things for me to check. And so that's why I rely so much on romance, because I'm like, oh, they're gonna be fine. Like at the end, there's gonna be a resolution.
Yeah.
It's gonna be okay.
Like my stuff is usually happily ever after.
Yeah.
Nobody has frozen to death.
Yeah.
Now I can't tell you, like in the middle, there might not be some wonky stuff going on.
Yeah, it's totally fine. I'm fine with taking it in a ringer. But in the end, I would like the characters to be alive and not frozen to death, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I think still, I'd be cussing. Yeah.
I am still angry at that book. Like, I am, like, very angry. I was like, I don't understand why did the author. And then I read an interview and the author regrets doing that ending. And I was like, you should rewrite it. If you regret it,
or at least if you're gonna kill her, like do it quick. I would think you'd have to stay out in the cold for a while.
Basically. So so these are my reader problems as we go in therapy. So let's see, what are you working next?
What I'm working on now, which was the one I was working on before. Yeah. I started. It's titled Pieces on the Ground, and it's a military romance. I've never done a military romance before. I'm sure once I finish it, someone's going to say, well, it's really more women's fiction.
It's all good.
But there's a romance in it.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
I'm hoping that'll be out. I don't have a specific release date, but it'll be in the fall. So, and I'm excited about it. Most of my books take place here in Charleston. Mm-hmm. And this one's Pieces on the Ground is no different. So it's, there's a surfer in it. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, we're big. There's a lot of beaches around Charleston. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm excited about it. So, but yeah, it was so funny when I was like 20,000 words into it. And I'm like, I just felt stuck. And then Evie popped into my head. I was like, I'm just going to do that one now. So.
Yes. Trust the process.
I think you do sometimes have to do it. I think that's the, it's hard to balance that creative part and the, I guess, being on schedule and the structure part of it. Hats off to the authors that can do it, but sometimes I lean a little bit more towards the creatives, like, well, I'm not feeling it today, so I'm not gonna write.
I feel so. You the same way. I have the same stuff. Like I have creative projects, and like I have this podcast is an ongoing thing, and so
yeah,
it's funny enough, like there are weeks I'm like, I don't feel creative. Like I need to be in flow. And like, yeah. I don't act on it. I let myself just sit so in that place. And like, and I'm surprised enough that I'm more productive the next day. Like, or I'm like, I have for activity that I'm like, woo, I'm creating, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, I try to write every day, even if it's only like 500 words, just to keep it.
Yeah, going. Just to keep the muscle, like there's habits that you just keep doing.
Yeah.
But the reality is that I'm like, I'm not, you know, may not be the best work possible, you know, like don't be like.
Well, and you know, I can't tell you how many times each book, but how many times I rewrite books and then before it gets to my editor, and then I got to rewrite it again because then she'll give me notes. But it's usually at some point I do get tired of the book, mm-hmm. and then it's like I have to like step back from it. And then once it gets released and it's out there, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, well, now I'm excited again about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it certainly, like I said, it can be draining sometimes. And it's like, I just have you. Yeah. If the creative juices aren't flowing, I don't think you can force that. You just have to just take a breath.
Yeah.
If you have writer's block, same thing. You just, people are always wondering like, well, you know, what can I do to like jumpstart if I'm in writer's block? It's like, what works for me is not going to work for you or whoever. So yeah, I do. I think you just have to sit there and wait it out sometime.
Yeah, I think it's like you can do other stuff. Like, I think that's like another, I've done the artist way a few mm-hmm. times around. And so I love doing artist play dates where you just go on a play day. Like you try to do something different. Like it has nothing to do with the craft that you want to create, but it fills your juices. Like I journal every day. And like, I do that just basically just to get the stuff done. Nothing is perfect by my journal, but it's like, it just gets it done. And then I'm like, if I want to do some writing, if writing is not working, then I may just paint or I may do something, you know, that's
it's like refreshes you.
Yeah.
Like, so,
you know, yeah. Like refreshes your, like, I don't know. It resets the brain to think about, I can't create it. Like nothing has to be perfect. Like it could be baking and it just sounds too pretty. You just like bake a bread, you know?
It's hard to write and not like self edit as you're going. You know, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I mean, I've sat there 45 minutes and looked at a sentence before. And I sit there and I think to myself, I'm so annoyed. It's like, this is ridiculous. Move on.
You know, like, honestly, just even write it down. Write the whole thought process down. Like, even though it doesn't make sense, when you go back, you'll be surprised. Like, that's one thing I'm grateful. Like, I've journaled for 15 years, and like there are times that I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to journal about, and I just write down, I don't know what I'm supposed to journal about, and then I'm like, and then the thought process come in, like, you know, the anger, whatever anger is happening, I'll just write it out, or I'll like, or you know, something uncovers with it. But it's like, funny enough, like you just have to just get through it, like acknowledge that place that you are, and then be like, okay,
let's kind of let yourself, like give yourself permission just to be free with whatever is coming out.
Permission to the feelings, to have the feelings. Like your feelings are going to be okay. You're safe, you know.
Yeah. So
I love this. I love these conversations.
But we just talk about that being creative.
So let's see. Have you read any book lately or in the past year or a couple years that you can stop thinking about, you can stop gushing about, that you recommend to our listeners?
One book, and it's not a new book. I think it was published back in, I want to say 2008, but it was, it's actually been turned into a Netflix show, Firefly Lane by Kristen Hanna. Well, I don't binge, I mean, a lot of shows. It's very rare that I'll get on a show and I'm like, I'll sit there like for all the episodes, but that one, I stayed up all night watching it. Well, then I find out it kind of leaves you on a cliffhanger. And so I looked up the book, and the series kind of takes you through half of the book. Well, there better be a season two. But anyway, I got the book because I couldn't wait for season two.
So does the book follow the series?
But I mean the book is like 500 pages.
Yeah.
And it's about these two women that grew up together. One came from kind of a bad home situation, and then the other one, her home life seemed good, but there were secrets. But it's just about their friendship. They both kind of fell for the same guy. It's just a great, just all around story. It's got, like I said, friendship, and it's got the romance in it. And they, I don't know how old they are. The present part because it goes flashbacks and stuff. So they grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and their present is like early 2000s. I think it's 2003, four. I grew up in the 80s, so that's probably why I like it a lot. It had a lot of 80s flashbacks.
I love it.
But the series is great. The book is even better. I mean, so that would be my big, an old book.
I love this.
So, but yeah, I can't say enough good things about it. So.
Oh, so good. Yes, it's all good to have like backlist titles.
There you go.
Recommendations. Like, it doesn't always have to be like front list, like brand new. You can actually find it in a library or get in a used bookstore. It's totally fine. So
yeah, and of course, I guess now that it's a Netflix series, you know, on Amazon, like the cover is different now. Catherine Heigl is the star, one of the stars. But like I said, it is. I highly recommend it.
I love this.
It's got a little bit of everything.
Tell us where you can find you online.
Well, I'm everywhere. AllisonGBailey.com is my website, and I'm on all the social media, on Amazon, and I'm mostly, you'll see me probably post more on Instagram, but yeah, like I said, I'm everywhere.
I love this. Thank you, Allison, for being on the show.
Thank you. I had fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com. The Watch Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.